Marketing and Media Insights from the Boardroom to the Billboard with Dina Diamond.
Dina Diamond, a very good morning to you.
And an official very good morning to you.
So Jenny says there are hipster frummies, in other words, religious Jews, who also have interesting names for their kids. Sne Bamidbar is one. What is Sne Bamidbar? Is the desert. Sne Bamidbar, the burning bush, is the context for that name. Ouch. All right. And that's alrighty. Yep. And there you have it. Right. So,
And there you have it. And
I'm not sure where one goes from a burning bush onto Christmas marketing. Yeah, it is quite the transition.
Yes.
So
from the burning bush to the Christmas bush.
Right, exactly. Christmas is a massive marketing
extravaganza. I don't know what else. Of the year. It's a crazy.
And we've got all of our trigger points, don't we? You know, it's we've got all of our singers. We've got Boney M, who are Christmas people, singers.
You've got Mariah Carey. Christmas album, which is like potentially one of the most famous albums. I mean, every single Christmas, whatever mall you're in, you're hearing All I Want for Christmas.
Yes, you. And in fact, somebody I saw on Facebook on Sunday, somebody marked themselves safe from after having listened to Mariah Carey's Christmas album. I thought that was very, very funny. It said, so-and-so is marked safe from the Mariah Carey Christmas album.
I know, you're kidding. I don't think you're ever safe from that.
No, I don't
think
because
it will go on. In the words of Celine.
Exactly. Oh, they're not the same person. Right. So how does this Christmas
mayhem frenzy.
Yeah.
If you look how it translates across the globe, it's just crazy. I mean, the amount of money that is spent on it. And not only that, but it's really permeated every single culture. You can't really go to many countries, except Islamic states and Israel as well, where, I mean, because most countries are actually Christian countries in this world.
Right, of course.
And every single country takes it very seriously on how they actually manage Christmas. So whether the traditions are actually specifically Christian or derived from pagan religions, which we'll talk about now, they have been adopted globally and they are symbols of Christianity. They are symbols of Christmas.
Right.
And
so the tree,
family,
for example, we spoke about last week on the show, that it actually came from Egypt. It was an Egyptian symbol for eternal life because it's an evergreen tree.
Yes. And not only that, but then the Gaelics and the pagans brought it into their homes, especially in Europe, because in Europe, obviously, at this time, it's freezing cold. And they would bring those Christmas trees. See, we can't even think beyond that.
Yeah, that's what they're called.
We're so brainwashed.
Right.
They would bring those trees and firs, et cetera, into their houses so that it would symbolize the spring and that there would be a regeneration. So that would show that there'd be a hope.
I love that, actually.
And it would show that there's a promise.
In the darkest of winter, in the middle of winter, there's a hope of summer.
Exactly.
There's a hope of rebirth.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly where it came from. And then it just got it sort of redeveloped. And then the
became a symbol of Christmas, even though, and in fact, it's interesting because again, we were speaking to the head of media for Chabad worldwide, and he was telling us about the story of how they started putting menorahs, Chanukias, in public places, and the conservative and reform movement in America tried to stop them. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't want this religious group celebrating a festival. And one of the arguments that they said was you can't put religious symbols
in public spaces.
So they argued about a Christmas tree. And the defense was, no, the Christmas tree is not a religious symbol.
Exactly. Well, it's become one.
It has become one.
It has become one.
Absolutely, it has.
So it's those words that are originally acronyms then become their own words. They actually become themselves. And, you know, when it actually became very popular and when it started getting taken up by the West, well, I mean, I said it was in Germany before, but Queen Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, not Queen Elizabeth, Queen Victoria. You know, they're all the same.
Yes. not really, but all right.
I mean, listen, if you miss a Victoria, you'll be an Elizabeth.
Yeah, this is
true. Yeah. So Queen Victoria, her husband was German. And in the late 1800s, she actually encouraged him to celebrate as he had in Germany. So he actually brought in a tree and decorated it. And they had decorated it with apples because there was a symbol of the Garden of Eden.
Right.
So it was saying that, again, with that whole thought of regeneration and rebirth, that they would have the symbol of Eden and it would come again and God's forgiving and the birth of
That's
Christ and all of that.
I had no idea. And is that when they started the whole decoration thing?
Yeah, so the Germans did it before. Right. And then when, Queen Victoria's husband did it in the late 1800s, it was started to get adopted in England and then in the United States. And you know once that happens.
No, then it's done. It's done. It's over.
Exactly. And it caught on with like massive public influence. And by 1900, one in five American families had a Christmas tree. And today, 25 to 30 million real Christmas trees are sold in the U.S. every year. That's excluding the plastic ones, the fake ones, the colored ones, the ones that light up, the ones that glow. Yeah.
How do they grow them this fast?
They are field. Where there's a market, there's a way.
Especially in the United States. Exactly. And of course, Santa Claus is also not a religious symbol,
no.
is he?
In fact, if anything, people think, you know, Christmas is always associated with green and red, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, if you ask anyone what's the color of Christmas, they'll say green and red.
Absolutely.
Number one, green because of the trees and the holly, etc. But what actually happened was a little beverage company in the 1930s. Do you know the story?
Tell us.
So in 1930, Coca-Cola actually hired an artist to actually create a campaign for Christmas. And they got an expert who created a book called The Secret of Language of Color named Ariel Extort. And he actually created a Santa Claus. He hired an artist named Haddon Sunblom, and his Santa Claus was unlike any Santa that had ever been seen before. And his was fat and jolly, whereas previous Santa Clauses were, it also comes from St. Nick and the ancient saints. And all the other ones were previously were thin and were elf-like, but this Santa...
I couldn't even imagine a thin Santa Claus.
Exactly. It would be terrible.
You can't trust him. It's like a pedophile.
Exactly.
It's like a thin Barney.
Yeah, or you don't...
I saw a picture of a thin Barney.
Yes, never. No. Was he Banting?
Yeah.
Banting.
Well, like you don't trust a skinny cook.
Exactly.
So this actually in 1930, Coca-Cola actually changed. He was supposed to be green. It turned him into red and started their sort of never-ending campaign, which lives today.
The world. But it's interesting that we no longer associate Santa Claus with Coca-Cola.
Although,
how did they lose that?
But if you look every single year, because Coca-Cola now don't own Santa Claus. Santa Claus is universal. So even though they created what is today the current view and the current image of Santa,
right.
Santa did exist before that. From the 3rd century, actually, Santa sort of became that symbol. But in its current form with the beard and the big jolly stomach and the old man and the elves, etc., that was all created by Coca-Cola. But you can't own something that belongs to everyone. So even though Coca-Cola created it, they almost shared it with the rest of the world. But if you look at their campaigns, every single year, always, their Christmas campaigns have always got a big jolly Santa.
Oh, so they'll refer back to it. That's so interesting. I was wondering if they took ownership even in a subtle way. Mm. There's a great question, which I'm going to leave, and I'm going to give you the question, but we'll discuss it after the sports with Louis Karpus. Marilyn says, Howard, I think that Black Friday has way overtaken Christmas as the hugest marketing tool. I think you might have already answered it, maybe commercially in terms of sales, but certainly the
sentiment.
The sentiment around. I mean, I'm Jewish, born Jewish, happily Jewish. I adore Christmas.
I also love Christmas. I love, you go to the United States and you've got the Macy's windows and the snow. I mean, even in South Africa, you know what I love is that we do the windows in snow.
Of course
we've never seen a snowflake.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's just a gorgeous
time
of year.
And I'm not sure if you've ever been in Paris, in Lafayette, the Galerie Lafayette.
Oh, I
mean,
I love
what they do in those windows something. Selfridges in London are very,
I was in Selfridges in October, mm-hmm. and the windows had already been done. And every year they go, every shop dresser, I think that's actually their challenge, to make a better window than the year before.
It's one of the most creative things.
Magnificent.
It's an art. It's an absolute art form.
And it also just makes everyone feel good.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. You don't have to be Christian. You don't have to actually celebrate Christmas. But you don't have to celebrate it.
I guess the other thing is that Christmas is associated with goodwill, mm-hmm. a time of goodwill. And that's just something everybody should get behind.
Yeah, it's the human
spirit.
What's
your thoughts on that, Sanati?
No, true. Very true. But also going back to that point of Black Friday having taken over.
Mm-hmm.
Because even me, guys, I look at the Christmas specials and I'm like, meh.
All right, Marilyn, I think your point is proven.
But you know what else is that people use Black Friday as that kickoff day for the Christmas shopping season. And they know, because no matter what happens, if you are Christian or you've got Christian friends or people that work for you or that you want a gift, the perfect day to shop for that is Black Friday and Cyber Monday, let's not forget, because if you look at what people are wanting, it's electronics and gaming. And that is all available on the Black Friday, Cyber Monday. And if you use the opportunity and if you're clever enough, you begin your Christmas shopping or try and do most of it on that day. But the giving is on Christmas Day.
Time is 7:37. I'm chatting to Dina Diamond, and we are talking about the marketing of Christmas, because it is a – and as you say, you know, when Maggie asks – was it Marilyn that asked that question about Black Friday marketing versus Christmas – I kind of agreed with her for a minute, and then I realized actually the marketing is not only about the sales. It's actually about this whole cultural – it's permeated every aspect of our lives.
Absolutely. And so you're right. From a retail perspective, Black Friday 100% is definitely the biggest sale push. But it actually goes towards Christmas. It's almost like the lead up to Christmas. And then what Christmas is a much bigger holiday, and it goes to not only just the buying of the gifts and stuff like that, but it's the family meals, it's the food, it's those horrible sweaters apparently originated in Canada of all places.
What's with those sweaters? And I see that it's now contaminated Hanukkah because people have ugly Hanukkah sweaters.
Did you see
sweaters?
That? Yes. So that's actually what I wanted to say, is that even though we talk about Christmas being this massive festival, and I'm sure, Zanati, you just saw this now in Israel, and you too, is that especially in the States, Hanukkah has become, they call it Chrismica. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but Chrismica. And there are Hanukkah bushes everywhere. So they're not just, everyone's so PC.
Leave the Christians alone. Let them have their own festival.
But we also want to buy gifts and have reasons to put light in trees.
Okay, so give your people Hanukkah gifts.
So that is a thing. So I lived in the States, there was actually a thing where you get a gift every single one of the 8 days of Hanukkah. So for those who don't know, Hanukkah is the festival of lights. It's where there was enough oil in the temple for 1 day and it burned for eight. Oh, and I saw a great thing on WhatsApp the other day someone sent me. And it was to get an idea of how we know, like, the impact of oil lasting for 8 days is that if your cell phone battery has 10%, it lasts for 8 days.
Yeah, it's exactly. Then we can understand the miracle of what that is and the relief.
Exactly. Mm. But, I mean, Hanukkah itself has got this massive marketing drive. And, again, they want to cater for everyone. So it ties in completely with Christmas and the gifting, et cetera. But everyone does. There are often a lot of people in America that buy gifts for all 8 days of Hanukkah. I made that mistake 1 year of my kids.
Yeah, we never did that. In fact, this year I'm not even sure we mustered up 1 day. But if we were traveling,
but you had
to be
candles
fair.
Once. Here and there.
No, candles we kind of did. They just don't talk about the gifts. It was just impossible.
No, but I mean, if you look at also that, how that marketing has gone to another level. I mean, the donuts that you can buy now. And you know why we eat latkes and donuts?
Well, I think latkes was about the oil, no?
Yes.
And
also donuts. Also oil.
Oh, is it the oil? So, Natty, did you?
I didn't.
What are you
but
talking
I have
about?
Had lo- I had
no,
last
I don't
year.
Understand. No, I you were in Israel over Hanukkah.
Right.
You didn't have a donut.
I didn't.
Why?
No,
I did have donuts last year.
No. Last year you weren't in Israel.
She's looking so slim.
She said she lost weight in Israel.
I did. I really did.
Because of all that walking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Outrageous.
Right.
It's a requirement.
Right. And the hummus can, yeah.
But I mean, like, have you ever seen so many types of donuts? I mean, you can get strawberry filled donuts. You can get donuts with nuts. You can get donuts.
I love the ones in Israel, just the look of them at least.
Jam.
Where they have the shot, little shot syringe. Have you seen those? So you've got this beautiful looking donut, and then there's like a little plastic syringe shot thing sticking out, and then you squeeze that in when you're ready to eat it. It fills it, and then you can eat it.
Oh, that is hilarious. It is so and you can cool. choose whatever you want.
Yes, because it's got the
does it come with alcohol?
No, well, it should. And then on the one side, and the other little plastic thing is insulin, which is nice. Wow. Or should be.
Oh, wow. No, that's, I mean, again, so that's why Christmas and Hanukkah, in terms of the Christmaka, has become massive. Even locally, I mean, anyone who is sort of, yeah, you'll see mass retail push. And even Checkers has lots of donuts, more than
absolutely
usual.
Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, all of it together is just phenomenal. And it is. It's a special time of year. It's when everyone's in a good mood because everyone's going on holiday and everyone wants to sort of chill out. You want to be with your family. You reiterate the importance of family and of giving. And I mean, we do, there are lots of Jewish organizations that do Christmas parties for underprivileged communities.
Sure.
Especially at this time of year. I mean, we did one, the other day in Alex with an underprivileged home with actually physically disabled kids. And there's a tennis coach who actually coaches at Yeshiva College, and his name is Bonaventure. And every year he puts on his Christmas Santa outfit and he gives presents to these kids who honestly have never had presents before.
Amazing.
And it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing to watch.
And Science says, hi all, my granddaughter calls Santa the Red Rabbi.
I love that.
That is very, very cute indeed.
And then did you know about spinning the dreidel? Do you know that's an actual game? I mean, now we just take
it. We don't really. Dreidels are just like a symbol of Hanukkah. Do people actually play it?
Yes, no, I even saw there's rules. So.
Oh, no. Real rules?
Real rules. Yeah. It says, because you're actually supposed to get tokens, right? So which could be anything. It could be penny. It could be actual money. It could be pieces of chocolate or money or chocolate gelt.
Right.
And we'll talk about that as well. And the players take turns on the four-sided top. So it's the different letters. And if it lands on N, nothing happens. If it lands on G, the spinning player takes the entire pot. If it lands on H, the spinning player takes half the pot. And in the case of an odd number split, the smaller half. If it lands on S, the spinning player has to contribute a token to the pot. Did you know that?
Not any.
I mean, we've been playing dreidel forever.
Did
not know that.
Not even a clue. Wow.
Exactly. And then even the Hanukkah gelt. So, you know, often it's a tradition for people, for the kids to get like gold,
little coins.
And it's a nod to the fact that after the Maccabean revolt, Jewish people were finally allowed to mine their own gold for the first time in history.
Wow.
See, so we actually do stuff. There's so much tradition
and
so much history.
Yeah, and we have no idea where it actually came from.
Absolutely no idea. So I think, but what's great is that it just perpetuates and it creates that sort of festivity and that excitement around the festival. So, and that's what Christmas is about. And it's about the giving and it's about this time of year and the happiness and the togetherness. And I mean, wherever you go, I mean, even if you drive, I remember in Durban in the old days.
In the old days.
Yes, in Daheim. And also by Miesenberg. They used to have the lights, and you'd actually, it would be a family occasion.
Of course, my parents would take us Adderley Street, actually,
yes,
in Cape Town.
Exactly.
And every year, as young kids, my parents would take us to see the lights.
So I do it
lights.
Still. So we did with our
it's
kids.
It's stunning.
And they love it because it's so exciting and
because
it's so beautiful.
Which kids don't love lights?
Exactly. I mean, even if you go to Melrose Arch now,
yes. I love what they've done at Melrose Arch. It's really worthwhile. Take your kids and go there. It's a lovely, lovely exercise.
Absolutely.
And Dina Diamond, that's where we love and leave you. You're going to be back only in January. Well, actually, as am I. But what date are you? You're back a little bit later.
I'm back on the 9th, yes.
All right. I'm back a little bit earlier in January. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful holiday, fully restorative, and you take the time with your family and just enjoy.
Thank you. And to you too. And good luck with the crowds on the beach.
Yes. Yes. There's that.